From the Hope 205 Studios, a Joe Louville Productions studio venture.
Imagine a workplace where leaders focus on empowering their teams, where the growth and well-being of people are at the heart of every decision. This isn't a distant dream. This is Activating Hope.
Disrespect is everywhere. It is often represented as powerful, liberating, and even fun. It has become the drug of choice for large parts of our culture, and it is amplified on digital social platforms. It is leaking into the technologically connected, geographically dispersed workforce of the 21st century. In this episode, leaders will learn how to lead with respect to capture the best value of teamwork. Nick Bauman has worked for 2 decades providing critical leadership business and human resource expertise to organizational leaders. Nick is committed to develop and optimizing talent while connecting the talent to bottom-line organizational results. Through his leadership, Nick has built and turned around multiple human resources functions by understanding business models, building high-value partnerships, developing strategic plans, and driving successful implementation actions. Nick speaks to current and emerging leaders on a wide range of leadership and HR topics. He concentrates on fundamental elements of leadership as critical components of developing into a high-performing leader. Nick has an MBA in leadership and also holds multiple HR certifications, including the SPHR, the SHRM, SCP. With broad experience in the motorsports and finance industries, Nick is currently the Senior Vice President of Human Resources for Merchants Bank. His work focuses on aligning HR and business strategies. Nick is a respected expert on topics related to leadership development, talent management, organizational development, and operational efficiency. We are excited to have Nick on this episode of Activating Hope. Welcome, everybody. Today, we are going to talk about leading with respect with Nick Bauman, and he is going to share his insights on, as I've been thinking about this before our conversation today, Nick, respect so much important now in the workplace than it's ever been. I mean, if it's a topic to be talking about, like say hot topic, I think it absolutely is. So I'm excited to get your insights and share your insights with our leaders that are listening to just figure out what does all this mean and how can we be better at doing this? So again, thank you for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Hope. I love what you're doing with the work in this podcast. I'm excited to be a part of it and looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, thank you. So we're just going to get right into it. When you think about respect, I've just got a couple of thoughts on that because respect can mean different things to different people. And so, you know, when we think about respect, in your opinion and from your experience, really, what does a respectful culture look like? You know, why is it so important? What does that mean and what you've seen?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think one of the reasons this is so important is because it can seem so basic or maybe obvious that we end up not intentionally paying attention to it. So for me, I usually like to start with thinking about what respect is not, because I think sometimes that helps kind of unmuddy the water. I don't know if that's a phrase or not, but
we can make it one. So we can make it one.
Respect to me, it's not like kindness or charity or submission. Those are some of the things that sometimes I hear get confused with those things. Don't get me wrong. I think it's important to be kind and charitable and all of those kinds of things. But to me, respect is about esteem or consideration. Right? When you consider somebody's value or you consider somebody's position or you consider that somebody may have a point of view that has some amount of value, then you are respectful of that, right? And when we're respectful like that, it allows us to connect with people. It builds a bridge with those people. And I think that's what makes it so important in the workplace because it really greases the wheels, if you will, for making an organization go or making a team operate or whatever the environment is. And I always say, to me, it's so fundamental to everything we do. And again, that's why I say I think sometimes it's easy to overlook because when we're respectful, and again, using that definition of, you know, when we're considerate of others and when we're willing to consider everybody's connection and input, you know, it improves things like efficiency or engagement, or, you know, I can start running through all these buzzwords of things that everybody wants to talk about today, inclusion and innovation, right? Like all these things, they're so important, but it all starts with, if we don't have a respectful work environment, those things are really hard to accomplish.
Absolutely. And so where do you see that starting then? Because I mean, it can be an overwhelming thing to say, we want to have a respectful culture. You know, we want to appreciate each other. But where do you think that has to start in order for that to become part of who an organization is?
Yeah, well, so for me, and maybe it goes back to the obvious title, right? Leading with respect. For me, it starts with the leader. And I have a passion for leadership and developing leaders. And I feel very strongly that leaders are the ones who really make it happen, right? Within their, and I don't mean make the outcomes happen, but they make the environment happen that produces the outcomes. And that's why I think the leader has to start with leading with respect if they're going to create that respectful environment for all of these other things to happen.
Absolutely. And have you seen when there is not that respect at the top, how that can impact the rest of the culture and even the middle level managers, front level managers, leaders being able to make that difference? Not that you don't stop doing that because you're not getting it up here.
Yes.
But have you seen that in your experience be a hindrance to that?
Absolutely. I think there's a couple different ways that can happen. I think one, there's if you've ever heard of like the chain of yelling, or I know there's other versions of it, but it can be the same thing with disrespect, right? If you've got a senior leader who is not operating with respect, it immediately starts to snowball down through the organization to the way you operate. It also just comes back to setting what's expected or what's acceptable within the organization, right? And so a lot of the times, you know, there may be outright disrespect, right? Like shouting, demeaning, aggressive criticism, gossip, undermining people, things like that, right? Like these are all things that can be disrespectful and they can come from any point in the organization. But certainly if your leader's doing it, that sets a tone and sets an example for everybody else of, okay, well, this is how we operate around here. And, you know, people like to talk a lot about culture, and culture is, you know, sort of the unwritten rules, the way things get done. And if you see your senior leader operating that way, then everybody else follows that lead.
100%. So when you think about that disrespect, and you mentioned some different ways that it shows up in the workplace, you know, anything else of just, you know, I just see people not supporting each other, not being respectful of ideas, being competitive, not collaborative. Not that there's anything wrong with sometimes being competitive, but what other ways do you see that disrespect showing up, especially when you have leaders that are not walking the talk of it?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I talked about maybe the more obvious ones, but I think there's a lot of subtle ways that this can show up. And, you know, I think sometimes those subtleties are unintentional, again, just because we're not paying attention to how we may be impacting someone else. Certainly some of them are intentional. And I think as we grow in our careers, you know, it's great because we get better with experience of understanding the nuances of things. Unfortunately, sometimes we also get better at sort of subtly disrespecting people too, whether we do it on purpose or not. So, you know, before we talked today, I was thinking about some examples that go with that. And one of the most obvious ones that came to mind was when somebody carbon copies someone's boss on an email response, right? There's a great subtle disrespect to that, right?
Yes.
And it can be taken a lot of different ways. But it could also not be meant that way. But again, when that happens, suddenly you've dropped your engagement or your collaboration, you've harmed trust in that relationship. Because in some way or another, it seems disrespectful to say, hey, I'm emailing you, but I'm going to go ahead and loop your boss in here too, just because of whatever else may be going on, right? So I think that maybe is a simple, silly one perhaps. But I think there's a lot of other ways it can happen, whether it's not inviting the right people to the meetings, right? When we talk about who should be in the room, well, why wasn't my opinion included in that, right? That can feel disrespectful. Or, you know, things like From a leadership standpoint, if you sit down at the end of a year, you know, we're in our year-end planning right now, we're talking about performance reviews. And one of the things we always talk with managers about is your employees should not be surprised when they get to the end of the year and you sit down and have a review. But if they are, and especially if they are because you're saying that they've been performing poorly, well, that's just not showing respect for them as a professional. To say, I'm just going to let you, you know, twist in the wind. Your performance is what it is. It doesn't really matter, but I'm going to hammer you at some point on it. You know, these are the ways that disrespect can come through. I mean, I could go on forever, but
no,
there's just
that.
So many subtle
that
ways that this can play out.
Well, and I, because I deal so much with teaching leaders how to give good feedback, and I feel like so many times that those conversations become gotchas.
Yes.
And it's like, I've been saving this up to getcha. And yep. There should not be, I always say, it should not ever be a surprise. I mean, if you're really having a respectful culture, you're having these meaningful conversations. And it doesn't mean that sometimes they're not hard. It doesn't mean that sometimes the feedback is not bad, but just very constructive. But I think that is a respectful culture. And I remember in my corporate years, you know, in my first years of management, which, you know, you think back to when you first were a leader. And I just want to hug those people that I reported to me because I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, you know, and I was not trying to be disrespectful. I was like, I just did not know. But one thing I always was like, I want to be a nice leader. I just want to be a nice leader. And I remember somebody pulling me aside and said, you know, nice is great. But what I've noticed about you being nice is that you're avoiding conflict.
Yes.
You're not addressing issues as they need to come. So if you really think about it, it's not being nice. When you're not giving that feedback or you're not addressing those conflicts, it's because sooner or later they will happen. I mean, the conflict will blow up. The feedback will maybe end up a good person leaving because they didn't get enough of it or they weren't told about it. So, you know, I really think about that. That's so true. It's just like, yeah, you're not really being nice when you're holding things back from people. And
that's
not telling them.
That's
and I think that feeds into that disrespect.
Yeah. And I think that's one of those things that, like you said, a lot of leaders want to be nice. And then we don't ever think through, well, what is the impact on this person if I don't also tell them what they need to hear, right? And so that, again, that to me, that's disrespectful, right? It's almost like saying, well, your career or your professional advancement is not important enough for me to tell you something that you need to hear, or I don't respect you as a professional, or I don't respect your potential. And so therefore I'm not going to give you this feedback. When you start to think about it like that, and I love Kim Scott's book, Radical Candor, if you've ever read it. And that's a whole other topic, but in there, she labels it as ruinous empathy. And that resonates with me because I'm the same as you. I my initial approach was always, well, I don't want to pile on right now, or I don't, you know, they're struggling it, but it's not respectful to them if we don't let them know something that they need to know.
Absolutely. We're holding back.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I think about someone saying, well, you know, you have to earn my respect. What about that? Like, is respect earned? I mean, how do you get that as a leader? What do you say to, like, you're going to have to earn my respect, or I'm going to try to earn, you know, so it's, and I believe it's the day-to-day things we do that contribute to that. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's a common response. And I think I'd start by saying that I agree that you can earn respect just as you can lose respect. And so it's not that it's wrong to say, well, respect is earned. I think the bigger thing is that I think it's a flawed approach to the way that you lead. Because it sort of rests on this premise that you don't begin with respect. So if respect is earned, well, then that means that you don't have it to start with. And that, to me, is a troubling place to start. Because, first of all, it begs the question of, well, who goes first? And so, again, like I said earlier, to me, the leader's got to lead with that, right? They've got to lead with respect. But if you're thinking, well, this person hasn't done it, it's just right. It's this chicken and egg, and you kind of get stuck all the time. And so you can't put that onus on somebody else to respect you until they demonstrate that you should respect them. That's backward, right? That's not fair. In fact, that's disrespectful, is what I would argue. I also think that most everybody, I mean, I've never polled everybody, but I'm going to guess that most everybody expects and desires to be respected from the start. They expect to start there. And so if that's the case, why wouldn't we start there, is normally what I would tell somebody. So while I agree that you can earn respect, you certainly can lose respect. But to me, it's always the logical starting point. And for the people who I've talked to through the years who really like to push back on this concept, I usually start with, well, what do you gain from being disrespectful? Right? Like, I've never seen anybody with any long-term gains from being disrespectful. Certainly, there can be short-time things, right? But ultimately, people are not going to put up with it, period. And oftentimes, I don't see somebody leveling up their performance to earn respect when they're being disrespected. You know, they usually just leave. And I don't think that's a good strategy for leaders to operate in this standpoint of you're going to get better or you're going to leave because otherwise I'm not going to treat you well. That, you know, that's just, again, it's, I think it's a flawed approach.
I agree. And I hear a lot of people say too, I just don't respect my leader.
Yeah.
I mean, I've coached people where they're like, they do nothing for my respect. So what do you say if you were giving advice or coaching someone on that, where they're like, my leader does nothing for me. So there's no respect there. Just because they're my leader doesn't mean I have to respect them.
Sure. Well, and you know what? That's fair, right? But again, I would say, what are you gaining from not being respectful to them? And I think a lot of this, to me, you know, it's somewhat unfortunate because I think today we live in a culture that really glamorizes disrespect. There's a lot of it out there. I mean, if you get on social media, it is filled with disrespect, right? And the problem is that doesn't work in day-to-day relationships, right? Like, to be disrespectful to somebody on social media and where you never see them and you're never going to interact with them other than there, I don't advise it, but you can get away with it. But to do that between you and your boss or you and a peer, it's just not a long-term strategy. You know, it's pretty self-serving to say, well, you know, I don't respect them. They haven't done anything to earn my respect. It's pretty selfish and isolating, honestly, because no one wants to be around a disrespectful person. So if you're going to operate that way, you will alienate people. You will isolate yourself. And ultimately, you kind of ended up imposing consequences on yourself. You're going to miss out on opportunities. You're going to miss out on connections. You know, the things that most people want and need to advance their careers, those things are not going to naturally come your way if you're a disrespectful person.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, that kind of talks about, like, I have to be respectful of my leader no matter what. What I would say, and I would love to hear what you say too, is like, well, if it gets to the point where it's very bad and you're working for a very toxic leader,
yeah,
then that's another conversation. It's not me just continuing to not respect this or be, it's how do I go talk to somebody, tell them about what's happening, or try to sit down and have a conversation with the leader themselves. But I know a lot of people, it's that, oh, I can't go talk to, they're not going to understand this. You know, they're going to push back on this. But I think it's also that we don't sit down and have healthy conversations to talk through this. Whereas if I did something that was disrespectful to you, you saying, Hope, can we sit down and can we talk about it? I felt disrespected when this happened. I may not have been aware that I was being disrespectful or that you took what I said as being disrespectful. But I'm finding it's more and more challenging for us to do that today because there is so much diversity of thought out there and that we just make a lot of assumptions that even further pushes this disrespect out there. I mean, at least from my experience, I don't know.
That's so true. And I think you hit on something really important there is that perception, right? This really is perception. And so one thing I would say when somebody says, well, somebody hasn't done anything to earn my respect is, well, you know, try to take their view of things for a minute, right? Like see where they're coming from and try to approach them that way, because maybe you're doing something that is cutting that off. Maybe you're coming through disrespectfully. And I agree with you. With certain leaders, you may reach a point where it's just time for you to move on, right? I would challenge and say that at least try to do something about it before you do that. Again, for the same reasons we talked about with employee reviews, right? Out of respect for the leader, go to him and say, you know, if you've decided, hey, I'm out of here, that's great. Then what do you have to lose to go to your leader and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about how it feels right now, the way that you're treating me. And if you get a really negative reaction to that, well, then you've just confirmed that you ought to leave and follow the decision you've already made, right? But maybe it turns around. If nothing else, you've given that leader an opportunity to hear that feedback, and maybe they like it, maybe they don't. Maybe it makes a difference for them later on down the road. But again, it's a respectful way to operate, to just say, hey, I really think this is something you need to know because it's impacting me, and it's probably impacting other people on the team too.
Absolutely. Well, and so, you know, when you think about that, I've had a lot of leaders say to me, you know, the respect part of like checking in and doing the look, I don't coddle people. I don't show up and have to be nice to them every day. So how would you say to that person, coddling being different than respect? Because I see that being, but I know a lot of leaders are like, it's the soft stuff. It's the, you know, the touchy-feely, where some people just need so much of that, being nice and doing all these things. And I just, that's not the leader I am. I don't give a lot of that. How do you talk them through that?
Yeah, for sure. I've had that question many times. So I think part of that comes back to understanding respect first, like we talked about early on, right? Because we're not talking about kindness or charity or anything like that. Again, those things are great, and I hope you work for a leader who operates with those things. But you can be respectful regardless of those other things. And I think, again, you know, one of the phrases you have, you know, we can't handle people with kid gloves is the response I'll get when I say we need to be respectful. So just kind of using that as maybe a silly but literal example for a minute. If you think about it as an adult, when you're interacting with a child, we're going to be gentle and kind. We're not going to be, you know, at least hopefully, not overly gruff. We may sort of overlook things that don't quite make sense because it's their world. And, you know, we may even affirm things that are kind of silly, like, oh yeah, you jumped really high, but they really didn't, you know, like things like that.
Yes.
We kind of allow them to operate in a space that's not really total reality because we just understand that that's where they are. And I don't think any of us would see that as being respectful to the child. We would see that as being kind or generous or, you know, loving or whatever that might be, you know, sympathetic or compassionate, those kinds of things. But that's not what we're talking about, right? We're talking about respect. And so it's not kid gloves. You know, respect then is, and I've got kids who are, I've got an 11-year-old right now, so I'm learning this a lot of like, he's getting old enough now that I actually need to start thinking in terms of respect too. Like he's got legitimate opinions and things that he knows and understands. And that's a difference, right? And so that to me is where this is not, you know, hand holding and using the kid gloves and coddling them. In fact, in my opinion, handling difficult employee situations with respect is the most effective way to do it. And you can be really direct doing it. So, you know, if a team member is struggling with performance, I mean, kind of like we talked about before, addressing that, but you can do that in a really respectful and direct way, right? So to go to them and say, hey, I respect you as a professional and as a person, and because of that, I need to share some feedback with you. It's going to be difficult. You may not want to hear this, but I think it's really important because I have a lot of respect for you as a professional, and I have a lot of respect for you as a human being. So now we've created an environment where that person's actually more open to that feedback, as opposed to if we take that disrespectful approach, or this work is terrible, you need to come back when you know, that's not helpful for anybody, right? And so that's not coddling. And, you know, this, in fact, to me, that's next level leadership, to be able to respectfully and directly address performance issues in a way that somebody comes away feeling like, wow, that person actually saw me as a person and as an important contributor to the team, and that's why I got that feedback. Now I'm engaged, right? Now I want to perform. Now I'm motivated to do something better. I've got a level of trust with my leader that you may not have had previously. And so it's kind of backward, but it's sometimes having those hard but respectful conversations like that is the best way to win an employee for life, where suddenly they'll always remember, this is the leader that cared enough about me to tell me something I didn't want to hear.
Absolutely. But I think you nailed it. You just use the word trust. And I think when someone doesn't trust their leader, the respect is not there.
Yes.
And so I think it's that foundational piece of, and, you know, there's two types of people out there. There are people out there that just trust you till you give them a reason not to. Yeah. And then there are those people that you have to earn that trust every day.
Right.
And so when you're leading, I think it's very important to know, you know, my people are, you know, are my people over here just going to give me trust in the beginning? And then I've, you know, I can work to keep it, or are these people over here? I've got to work to earn it.
Yes.
And I think I just see respect. When you said that word trust, I was just like, wow, they really go hand in hand. Because I've, you know, over the course of my career, leaders I've worked for, if I did not trust this person, I had a really, really hard time respecting them. And, you know, looking back on my younger self, I'm like, oh, I did some disrespectful things.
Right.
You know, it's like, and it wasn't like you were doing it, but you just, there just wasn't that trust there. So you didn't feel, you didn't feel about, and you didn't feel like giving them respect was important.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like,
and I think that that trust piece is a really interesting thing to think about with respect, because I don't know if you've ever read the book Speed of Trust. It breaks trust into two components, character and competence. And the character is really obvious in this case, right? Of like the way you conduct yourself, the way you carry yourself, all that sort of stuff. But the competence side of it, I think a lot of the times we get hung up in the sort of technical competence of work. But let's not forget that there's a competence to being a leader. And part of that competence, in my opinion, is how to operate with respect, how to do the things that you're supposed to do the right way, rather than, you know, it's not just measuring somebody's performance or setting expectations or scheduling meetings or keeping projects on schedule or those sorts of things. It's the way that you do those things. That's part of the competence too, which then to me is the two pillars that builds that trust with people around you.
Are you ready to activate hope and drive change? At Integrating Women Leaders Foundation, we're committed to developing leaders and enabling companies to maximize productivity. That's why we support Activating Hope, the podcast, your go-to source for leadership development and business best practices. Join us in breaking down barriers and creating equal opportunities for all. Discover programming that develops both personal and professional growth, and engage in bold conversations to address systemic challenges. Don't miss out. Learn more about how you can be part of this movement. Visit IWLFoundation.org. That's IWLFoundation.org today. Together, we can create a world where everyone has access to unlimited possibilities for success. Are you an artist struggling to bring your creative visions to life? Whether you're planning a multi-country tour, mounting a play at a local theater, or recording your first album, Before the Applause is here to guide you through every step of the way. Authored by industry experts Joe DeCenzi and Joe Hanna, this groundbreaking book offers artists the fundamentals of project management paired with leadership skills crucial to getting your artistic projects over the finish line. Unveiling Before the Applause, your ultimate guide to project management for artists.
So how do we teach leaders? Because I do, it sounds, you know, you do a lot of coaching. I do a lot of leadership coaching. And there's some people that just, and I go back to emotional intelligence, because leaders that have a lower emotional intelligence, these things that we're talking about, I see them struggle with this.
Yes.
Of why this is important. So how do we, where do we start? Like, how does a leader begin to build this, especially those that this does not come naturally? I mean, how would you start with somebody that comes to you and is really struggling with this? Let's just say a team doesn't trust them. They're not being respectful. But then the leader also doesn't know how to start that process. Like, how would you begin to build that with them?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question. And I mean, I hate to say it depends. So I'll build on that. Right. I think part of that would be trying to understand the dynamics that are going on there. As you say, I totally agree with you. Emotional intelligence is a big part of this. And I think leadership in general requires a level of emotional intelligence that not everybody has initially. Now, the great thing about emotional intelligence is you can develop it, right? It's a muscle that you can strengthen and get better at. I would argue that for when we're talking about respect specifically, I think self-awareness is probably the EQ strength that's maybe most important, to be able to pay attention to how you're impacting other people. And, you know, just, okay, what's my behavior right now? And what's that doing to the people around me, right? That's a huge component of being able to recognize, am I being respectful or not? Maybe impulse control, some other things like that. But I would think if it's just simply an awareness issue, then I would say that coaching element, as well as finding those people that the leader trusts that are in the environment where they're operating, who can give them some feedback, right? Or maybe they can, you know, get that one person you trust who can give you a little nod or some nudge or something to say, hey, right now you need to be careful how you're approaching this or whatever. So that might be one way to do it. You know, one thing that I've done with managers before is actually, I hate to call it role play because it sounds cheesy, but have them talk through with me like, okay, you're getting ready to go have this conversation with an employee. Just talk me through it. What are you going to say? How are you going to say it? What are you going to say if and when they do this or that or whatever? And helping them start to reframe those things some into more respectful ways of approaching the conversation. I think those are maybe two ways to do it. It's tricky because it's very fact specific sometimes.
It is. And I encourage often leaders, and they're hoping, assuming they're having regular one-on-one conversations with their team.
Yes.
Is asking for that feedback.
Yes.
You know, and generally I'll put it in the form of not necessarily the word respect, but, you know, is there anything that I do that demotivates you?
Yeah.
What are the things that I do that motivates you? I mean, you could kind of put in respect with that as well. But I think it's also important to every once in a while check in and see and get that feedback and make it okay for them to give you that feedback. And I think a lot of times we assume if nobody says anything to us, we're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know that that's not always the case. That they're kind of things, you know, under the current.
For sure. And I think one thing, I've certainly taken advantage of this personally in my career, is you get certain people on your team who not only do you maybe build a trusting relationship with, but you just, they're aware of what's going on and they're willing to speak up or give you truth sometimes. And so I'll go to them and I'll say, hey, I can tell something's off, or I can tell this or that, but I'm not sure what. I just, like, what is it? Tell me. And almost create that expectation for them to give you that feedback and try to leverage that relationship. You know, that ends up building that relationship deeper too then, because now that person goes, boy, this is somebody that, you know, my leader wants to know what I think about how he's doing. And at the same time, it helps you be a better leader.
It does. It does. And I think it starts, you know, when you think about the culture of respect, it really truly does start with every leader. I mean, it's got to come from the top, but yes. I have worked with people that it doesn't come from the top.
Yep.
So they're frustrated. The middle's frustrated. And it's just like, so what do I do? I say you lead at the level where you are. You know, you can try to lead up. You can try to offer that feedback. But just because you're not getting that respect from the top down doesn't mean you shouldn't give it. But I know that, and you've probably seen this too, sometimes that's demotivating to leaders because they're like, well, I'm not getting it. So I'm not going to give it. And I'm like, well, so you know you don't like it. Why would you want to do that to your people? I mean, have you seen that yourself?
Well, for sure. And I mean, you know, logically, that makes sense. Like when you don't feel like you're being respected, your natural inclination is to just turn around and still be respectful, right? It's just...
Right.
That's human beings, right? That's where the leader's got to be the bigger person in the room, right? And I've had this conversation with leaders before where I say, look, this is what you signed up for. And if you really feel like, well, there's no way I can do this until that, then you're probably in the wrong position. I mean, I just got to be honest with you because that's not how it works. And you can try and try and try, and it may not work. Now, you may have a true issue, right? And you've got to address it in the team. And I think, you know, that's where, as the leader, you've got to take some accountability of like, well, who do I have here and what am I doing about it too? But you're still going to have to approach it respectfully because it's like you're trying to cleanse the team of something at the same time that you're pouring that thing into it. It's sort of, you know, like trying to brush your teeth and eat Oreos at the same time. It just doesn't work, right?
It does not work. It does not work. Yeah. Well, what has been your greatest success story that you've seen? I mean, is there an example that you can think of a leader that just didn't get some of these things that we're talking about, but you worked with that person and they really, you know, what was the thing that made them finally get it? And if you don't have something that specific, but just, I'm just curious of like, how did you grow them along?
Yeah, there's definitely success stories without a doubt. You know, a couple people come to mind. I try not to get into specifics, but I think what I've seen, the most of the feedback I've gotten when we've had good success and that person is starting to flourish and they're coming back with, you know, positive reports of, hey, I had this conversation, this is how it went, and things are better now. You know, they're almost surprised. I think a lot of the times that has come, like I was saying earlier, from those sort of one-on-one coaching conversations where maybe I'm challenging them a little bit to say, well, I understand that that's what you think is going on here, but let's look at what you're doing in the situation and how are you going to approach it, and really challenging them on shifting their mindset. And that tends to be where I get the best success, which is, that's kind of why I went to that when you asked earlier about where do you start with somebody on this? Cause you need somebody, you know, we're not good at everything. Nobody's good at everything. And you need somebody there as a coach to point things out and say, hey, you know, maybe consider this when you go into that conversation. That tends to be where I've gotten the best, I feel like, success stories out of it. You know, I think the other great thing about the success stories is a lot of the times it's almost like the more success they have, not only the easier it gets for them, but the less effort it requires at the same time. It really can pick up momentum and they start to, it kind of opens their eyes to, oh, there's another way to do this. And I think a lot of the times, maybe the most surprising areas is people who have come from an environment where they had a very disrespectful leader. And in their mind, that's just how it works. You know, that's normal to them. And now they're in a leadership role and they're just repeating what they've seen because that's how they saw leadership work. And once they've actually gone and tried it another way and seen the positive results, that's when they kind of open their eyes to, oh, wow, so I can be a leader and people will like me and I can like them and we can all actually like be happy and get along.
Well, I love it because, you know, I have, in fact, had a leader that I worked with, it's been several years ago, that thought being these things that we're talking about made them look weak.
Yeah.
And that they, you know, they, in order to be not a pushover, not be too nice, they had to be, and they really did not see. And unfortunately, what I saw happen with this person's career is in those moments, they were sometimes promoted for these behaviors. And so when we got into coaching, this individual was almost not able to see any other way to do it because this has been what had gotten them further along in their career. Yeah. So they thought if they changed that, then that was going to halt them. And I just thought that it was interesting of like, but that's true. I mean, I have seen. Yeah. And then what message does that send? Talking about culture in the workplace, this is what gets rewarded, this behavior.
That's
so
right.
Then that says to other people, then I've got to replicate that if I have any aspirations of moving up and being higher in this organization.
Yeah.
And so I think as leaders, we've got to be careful, especially at the top when we're seeing these things happen, because what are you replicating?
That's right.
It's what you're rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where there are certainly people who think that the only way to be seen as a strong leader is to almost show no mercy, right? I'm just going to charge out front ahead of everybody and they're going to follow because I'm the leader. And it doesn't matter how I treat them because, you know, they get a paycheck every week and here we go, right?
Yes.
And it kind of reminds me of the John Maxwell quote of like, he who thinks he leads when no one is following is merely taking a walk, right? Like, I love that quote.
I think about that all the time.
Uh-huh. If we're not going to take the time to respect the people who report to us, there's a good chance the next time we turn around, there won't be anybody behind us. And then we're not a leader. We're just on our own on an island. And, you know, and I've seen people operating with disrespect where that has happened to them and they've reacted with more disrespect, right? Well, if that's how it's going to get, like, then they really come down on the team. Like, why aren't they doing that? And it just doesn't get anywhere. It turns into even less engagement, if it's possible, turnover, right? All these issues, people don't want to work for that leader. And that's why, you know, early on said, it's just not a long-term strategy. It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. And I'm curious from your perspective, and I'm, you know, just sitting here thinking about pre-post-COVID. Do you think post-COVID workplaces have become more disrespectful or more respectful?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think generally they have become less respectful. If left to their own devices, maybe is the best way to answer that question. The reason I say that is I feel like my workplace isn't any different from before. But we are super intentional in our culture too about not tolerating. Well, we've got some unwritten rules, and I won't say them out loud, but we won't tolerate people treating people poorly. There's a little bit more crass term that we like to throw around sometimes, but I think we've seen a less respectful work environment post pandemic because of remote work. And it's not that I'm not in favor of remote work. I mean, that's a very nuanced topic in itself. But the more scattered that we get in our work, the easier it is to get disconnected. And, you know, I think this is what you see on social media, right? It's really easy for people to troll people and the vitriol that comes out and the comments that people make, because there's no face and no person associated with whoever's receiving those comments. And I think it's really easy for that to happen in the workplace too, when we're just on Teams and or Slack or just over email or whatever, those kinds of things. And I think that's where workplaces have gotten less respectful, is because there's just more opportunity for a lack of respect. You know, the more connected you are to somebody, the less likely you are to be disrespectful to them. I don't have science on that. I just firmly believe that.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree. And I think the virtual part, you know, and I say this a lot, I use this word intentional. You have to be more intentional when you have a remote workforce. And, you know, but then I'm also seeing people leaving organizations now because there have been some, we will not mention the names, some very, very large organizations that are now telling everybody they got to come back.
Right.
I don't care if it worked for you working remote. Everybody back in the office 5 days a week.
Right.
And in some forms, people are finding that disrespectful of like, I got my job done. I did a really good job.
Right.
Why are you not respecting that this hybrid schedule works for me?
Yes.
And, you know, and that's why I kind of was also thinking about that question of disrespect, as I hear a lot of people like, well, the company's organization isn't really respecting what I need.
Yeah.
As an employee.
Well, so I think you hit on something really important there, which is, there are a lot of people in leadership roles who will issue edicts about things without seeking anybody's input, or maybe with only a few people's input. And I've had this conversation even recently with leaders where they say, well, yeah, but if you go and ask for everybody's opinion, then all of a sudden, you know, and I get it, right? It's true. But that's where, to me, a strong leader can lead with respect by asking for those opinions and then coming back with super clear communication about why. And I think that's where the work from home stuff has gotten really messed up, is part of it is we're not necessarily seeking input. We're just making decisions based on, you know, whatever somebody thinks is best. But then also important is, if we think it's best, then let's talk about it and let's lay that out. And if it's true, people will get on board with that because it'll be true. And they'll say, oh yeah, this is best. And I mean, nobody hopes that their employer is going to go out of business, right?
Right.
Like, nobody hopes that their company is going to fail. Nobody hopes that their performance is going to be bad. Like, we all want these good things. So if it's true that we're better to be together, then just let's talk about how that is and why that is. And if that bears out, people will get on board with that. And it may not work for everybody, right, because of life circumstances and all that. But then it's not a, an angry departure. Instead, it's a, hey, they made a change and it makes a lot of sense. I just can't do it. And so I've got to go do something else. But I think that's where, again, talking about that leader who wants to appear strong, sometimes they feel like, well, look, this is what we're doing and it's not open for discussion. And I understand that what they mean is this is what we're doing and we're not going to change our mind, but it should be open for discussion. It should absolutely be, because that's disrespectful to just go to somebody and say, look, I made a decision that just affects your life right now, but I'm not going to talk about it. You just need to do it. Well, no wonder people are mad and posting stuff online and quitting jobs and all this. I don't want to work for a leader like that either.
And people have no fear today of quitting.
No. No.
I mean, that, you know, I've got two friends currently that just quit and didn't have another job.
Yep.
They just called in. They were tired of being disrespected over, I mean, these were like long-term decade employees.
Yeah.
That just said, I don't even care if I don't have a job. I'm just not going to, and I'm seeing that more post-COVID. That the tolerance for the disrespect, the tolerance for things is like, maybe before I handled it, but I had a lot of time to sit at home and think about some things. It's like, it's going to be different. And so, you know, I think leaders today leading have to be aware of that. And, you know, I always just talk about, you know, the starfish when you're like, I can't impact all of this. I can't make this world that's so filled right now with a lot of stress for people and, you know, what is coming. It's like, I can't control all those things. But as a leader, what I can control and influence is those people around me. And if I can help that one, put that one back out there stronger, then to me, that is the greatest form of respect I can give my people and develop them and be aware. Yeah. But it really starts when people say there's nothing I can do about it. It's the organization's responsibility. I say, but yet it isn't. I mean, it is and it isn't, but it's like, where does personal accountability come in?
Right.
And is it the organization's responsibility to be accountable first, or is it the leader's?
Right.
And if you have leaders taking it, it builds that culture that we're talking about.
It does. And every individual leader has an opportunity to do that, right? Within the group that they're leading, sort of regardless of what's happening around them. In our organization, we bank a lot on managers using their discretion and their judgment and making decisions that make sense for their teams, rather than just having lots of policies and procedures. And I think that's where, you know, look, I enjoy the good fortune of working in a smaller organization. So it's not, you know, a 300,000 employee company where there has to be more structure. But all of that, again, comes back to, do our leaders have the ability to actually look at this, know, like, okay, our culture is to treat people well, but we also need to succeed as a business. And how do I balance those two things so that we can go forward and be successful? And that's where I think a lot of the times the respect comes into that of, yeah, I want to treat people well, so I want to be respectful of them. And we also have to run a business. And if I just have a factual conversation with people that here's decisions we're making because of the business, it's not because I don't think you do good work. It's because this is going to make us a better company. Well, you know, then that person just makes an individual decision whether that works for their life. But it's not like these people don't think I can do a good work all of a sudden because it's 2024 instead of 2021, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what would be your best piece of advice for our leaders listening to activate hope when it comes to leading with respect in the workplace? Like, your one thing, if they just kept one thing in mind to do a lot of these things we talked about, what would that be?
Yeah. So, I mean, very basically, I would say just lead with respect. Be the example. I think that's so critical. But I think maybe the other piece I would tag on to that is, and this may sound really boring or basic, but I think it's important, is very explicitly set the expectation for your team to say, this is going to be a respectful environment. I'm going to respect you guys. You're going to respect me. You're going to respect each other. And if we don't see that respect, whoever is the actor of that, there will be accountability for that. And I'll handle it respectfully, but this is the expectation around here. And I have found personally, just doing that, like, nobody ever raises their hand and says, I think that's the wrong expectation, or I don't want to work on a team that
respects people.
Right, exactly. Everybody, when you say that, everybody raises their hand and goes, I can get on board with that. That makes a lot of sense.
I love
and then
that.
As a leader, it allows you to facilitate an environment where that is actually happening between people.
I love that. And it can even be part of, a team discussion of like, let's talk about what, like we did at the beginning of our conversation, what does respect mean? What does that look like? What does that mean on our team? And what are going to maybe be some ground rules around respect? And what are going to be some ground rules around when we feel disrespected? Like, how
That's
do
right.
we handle that? Do we engage in one-on-one conversation? How are we going to talk about it? I mean, I think I love that advice because I think that is a basic place to start. That really, even if you already feel like that's going on, I feel like that could be a conversation anybody could have now.
Yes.
And I think it's, like I said, of the diversity that's going on in our world right now, I think that would even be a great way to start out a new year of just like, let's sit down, let's talk about what this means for us and how do we want to function and operate as a respectful group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and I often say though, some common sense stuff, and I love how you said this sounds basic. I find that common sense is not always common practice.
Right.
And so when we think about, oh, I should have done it this way. And then you're like, but why didn't I? You know, it just sometimes it's time. It's, we're not really thinking about it. We're just acting and we're not being intentional in how we're going about things.
Yeah. And I think when you do that kind of intentional basic stuff, that's when I've coached managers, I've just had a lot of success of, they'll come to me and they'll say, well, so-and-so is doing this and it's not right, but I don't know how to address it. And usually I'll say, well, do they know they're supposed to be doing it another way? You know, a really common one is like what time they're supposed to show up at work. I'm like, well, you told them what time you want them? And well, everybody knows we should. I'm like, no. Have you told them, right? Because that's a basic element of respect, is telling somebody what I expect from them.
Exactly.
And then when I actually sit down and have an accountability conversation, look, we already talked about this. There's no surprises here, right? So it's the same thing with, this is how we're going to carry ourselves in the workplace. This is how we're going to treat each other. And if I see it veer off of that, because we've already talked about it, it's a really easy conversation to go have to say, hey, remember we talked about this. And right now, this is deviating from that discussion. What do you think? Right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and it just goes back to that accountability. And you've got to, but a lot of people don't want to make explicit expectations because then they got to hold them accountable to those things.
Right.
And I say, but if you don't have that, then you really can't blame the person. Like you said, and I love, and you've probably heard leaders say this too, I love when they say to me, hope they should know.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how often I hear that. I would be very, very rich if I had, like, I'll just say a quarter for every time.
Right.
So they should. And I go back to what you just said of like, but have you said that to them?
Yeah.
Well, how could they have worked here this long and not know this?
Yes.
I'm like, but I do get a lot of that of just, you assume someone knows something.
Yeah.
And
they'll say that. And oftentimes I'm like, I agree with you. They should know that. Have you made certain of it?
Yes. Have you confirmed it?
If you go ask them and they say, oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that, I just haven't. Well, okay. Now this is a different conversation.
Now this
right?
is a different conversation. this is what I always tell people. This is my little best advice. I'm like, trust, but verify.
Yes. Yeah.
So then once we verified it, we can go forward.
Right.
So,
Well,
Nick, I cannot thank you enough. I have so much enjoyed this conversation.
Me too.
I was just looking forward to it because I just don't think we can talk about this enough. And it starts, even if you're not necessarily in a leadership role, we all have a responsibility to be respectful.
Yes.
To be a model for that. And, to show the up and comers in the workplace what we want it to be and what that looks like. So if any of our listeners out there would like to get in contact with you, what is the best way for them to connect with you?
Probably the easiest way is just by email. And that's just nickbauman@mail.com.
Okay.
And nickbauman@mail.com.
Okay.
And I'm always watching that. I love interacting with people about this stuff. I know I told you before we got started, I could talk about this forever.
I love it. I could talk about this with you forever too. I'm sure between us, we've got so many stories. We could have additional episodes of the podcast.
I've spent 20 years trying to help people with this. I have a passion for it. This is my wheelhouse for sure. So I'd be happy to connect with anybody.
I love it. And you know what? I think the great thing is I don't think we'll ever be out of work with this.
Yeah.
Because I think it's something that, you know, it's like somebody saying they went to the gym on the first day of the year and they worked out and now they don't have to work out for the rest of the year. It's like, this isn't a one-time thing. You know, this is I got to work out 365 days a year. And I think about respect as like an intentional workout of just showing up, checking in on people, respecting people where they are, developing them to be the best they can be. I mean, I think when you sign up or sign on that dotted line for leadership, this is something that needs to be part of it. And if it can't be, then like you said, maybe it's not for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, thank you so much for your time. And
thank you.
I look forward to when our paths cross again. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Now go activate your hope. And we look forward to seeing you next time.